Älskar du den här podden? Stötta den genom IKAs nya supporterfunktion. Det är helt upp till dig hur mycket du vill bidra med och det finns ingen bindningstid. Klicka på länken i poddbeskrivningen för att visa din uppskattning och stötta podden.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is the source?
One, two, three, send it!
Welcome to episode 31 of Driftpodden, a podcast about drifting. Normally, this podcast is in Swedish and aimed at a Swedish audience. But today we try something new and the episode is in English and the interview person is an internationally known drifting personality. Today's guest is an internationally known person that visits drift events all over the world from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Welcome to the podcast, Youssef Al-Harais.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, like I said, you're a drifting personality. You're known to be a speaker, and you're known to many of DriftZone's readers and live stream viewers because you have done some cooperations with DriftZone's earlier, both in Sweden and Oman. And
that's correct.
My plan today is that we will get to know you a little better.
It'll be a pleasure. I would like to meet everyone there on the podcast, and we'll share what we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So if we go back to the beginning, when did you find drifting, and when did you find your love for drifting?
I think from childhood, many years ago. Even that, we did not understand what drifting means at that time, because maybe the internet was not as much as it is today, and we did not have access to Initial D in the 90s until later on. I started motorsports in 2006, the very beginning, when actually Dubai Autodrome was funded, I think in 2005. So 2006 was my first start, and from there I started doing track days, circuit driving, and for some reason, I was always driving the car sideways. And then I was told by some more expert people and older people that there is something called drifting. And I started venturing into it. And I think that's where I found my passion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that leads us into the next question, because you have your own drifting career. So tell us a little bit about your own drifting career.
So when I started driving, I got myself an M3, an E46 M3. So I had a few cars before that, some Mercedes, some different cars, and I was grease monkey, or trying to actually know how to drift. But when I got that BMW, and I got attached to that BMW so much, till today I have few ones, that's when I started actually drifting. And I was drifting in auto test events. We did not have drifting events at that time. In 2007, 8, there was no drifting events, 2009 even, but there was autocross, or as we call it, autocross, as knownly, widely known as an auto test. So I used to drive those tracks, those layouts, in a drifting manner. So it's very close to Gymkhana.
Yeah.
Luckily, in 2010, Drift All-Stars made an event in Dubai. So they brought all the guys, I'm talking Julian Smith, James Dean at the time, and many other, Drifter Christy Carpenter, known as well as he's the dealer for Westlake Tires in Europe and the Middle East. Many other drifters, they came over to Dubai and they pulled up a very nice drift show, which I was involved with the team who actually made it happen. So as in from the organizing perspective.
Okay.
Meanwhile, after that, in a few years, there was an SSK drift challenge that used to come up by our friend Samer Khadra, who also started organizing those events. Formula D have hosted an event in Yas Marina Circuit a year after that. So drifting started becoming popular here, and we started understanding, reading more about it, building more cars, building more stuff. We have a very known drifter in the Middle East called Ahmed Al Amri, and he was he used actually to drift in Japan back in the days, and he helped us a lot to learn and understand the drifting scene, the community, how the cars should be worked out, and so on. And from there onwards, of course, the internet has no secrets, as everyone knows. People went online and started reading, and we have few proper drivers and champions here in the Middle East, which I am technically involved with all of them. And from there, the career kicked off. I have my own events now, and I have one event a year that I host in the United Arab Emirates. It's a small event, but it's quite challenging. I have a specific thing that I like to make in those events, which is a lot of walls. Almost every single clipping zone is against a wall. So imagine those drivers need to do 7 wall taps to actually score full marks.
Okay.
That's not something easy to do.
No, that's challenging.
Yeah, it's very challenging. And of course, I've done my share of driving. I've won a few Gymkhana championships. I've practiced a lot in small drift events here and there. And just one day I was in one of the Drift UAE championships. I was walking around, not driving that day. And they asked me, "We don't have a speaker. Would you like to speak?" And I grabbed the mic. And I think that's where the career of being the speaker for drifting events came from. I can't remember how many years. I think 2014 it was, or 15, something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, and since that, you have hosted, been speaker on live events and also on live streams and different TV shows and stuff.
Absolutely. Since then, I've been the speaker for all the UAE events. So if there is a drifting event happening in the United Arab Emirates, I'm usually the first guy they call to actually be the host. Drifting wasn't the only thing. I've also done some rally hosting, gala dinners, which comes related to motorsports. I am the lead speaker or the lead commentator for Oman International Drift Championship. I've done King of Desert, which is a part of King of Europe series. Back in the days, I've also been the speaker on their live stream. I do both languages, Arabic and English, depending on, for example, Oman, I do the Arabic part because Ian, our fellow friend Ian from England, he flies over to do the English commentary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we follow Oman International, of course, here in Sweden also.
I've also done some interviews for Drift Zone in Oman with James Dean, Peter Vincik, and a few other drivers as well.
Yeah, we remember those. Okay, so what cars were you driving? You mentioned the E46 M3. Was that the only drift car you drove?
No, actually, I have... that car started my passion for drifting. So that car challenged me a lot. When you start drifting, you think you're the best drifter on the king of drift.
Yes.
And you think you can do it. So starting with an E46 M3 was slightly overwhelming, I would say. And I went back to a smaller chassis. I went back to an E36 with a normal stock M50 engine and started learning from there, climbing the ladder. Today I have a missile, which is an E36 with an M50 as well. Fully stripped out, no cage, nothing except a bucket seat, full doors for safety because I don't have a roll cage, so I did not cut off the doors or anything of that. but it weighs around 1,150 kilos and 190 horsepower that can actually pull skids as a 500 horsepower car. That's it. That's the practice car. I have a pro car as well, which is an E30. It's not fully finished yet. It's on its way. Engine is done. It's an M50 fully built with the small turbo. It was able to put down around almost 600 wheel horsepower on a Mustang dyno on ethanol on E85. Or actually, we use E99 here because E85 is not available out of the pump, so we use the pure one.
Okay.
And on around 480, 490 on pump fuel. So that's the pro car. Hopefully, whenever I have a room, I want to drive that one in one of the competitions one day.
Yeah. Okay. We have seen you in Sweden and Norway a few times. How did you end up coming to Scandinavia to see drifting and inhale the Gatorbil spirit?
Well, I got goosebumps once you said Gatorbil there, because I think it's the best event I've been to and I would go to for the rest of my life. I think it's just the best place to be.
Yeah.
Simply, I'm sure you're aware or you know the Norwegian drifter, Fredrik Asland. Not Oxnevat, not Fredox. Mm. Fredrik Asland. Because Fredox also came to the UAE in one of the drift events. But yes. Fredrik Asland actually participated in Drift UAE, a full championship season. And I believe he finished second in the championship. We've developed a good friendship between me and Freddie. And one time I was just talking to him over the phone when he was in Norway. And he was like, it's Gatorbil this weekend. Would you like to come?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Tell me more about Gatorbil. Then we looked around the YouTube videos and stuff like that. I said, hell yeah, I'm coming. Caught a flight, flew in, landed in Norway, rented, I rented a car and I met him on track. And since that day till today, I try my best not to miss a single Gatorbil. The year after, I was to three different Gatorbils. I've been to Montorp, I've been to Rudskogen twice. The year after, I went to Montorp and Rudskogen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, last year I had to skip it for some commitments. And this year, because of the pandemic that we are in, of course, we are unable to fly anywhere.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I actually had plans this year to do, again, Montorp and Rudskogen.
Mm. I would also recommend the first Gatorbil of the year at Vålerbanen. I really like it. I have been there once.
I wanted to go there once with the Drift Brothers. Of course, yeah. Coming back to a small point here, what Gatorbil introduced me to a huge amount of people, and I made so many dear friends and brothers there in Scandinavia, between Sweden and Norway.
Yeah.
It for me now to fly over is like going back to my second home. I don't feel like a stranger. Mm. I really enjoy it. Volar, it was a plan to do, and I actually had a ticket booked and I missed the flight by half an hour.
Okay.
I feel ashamed. I'm ashamed to say so, but I actually missed the flight by half an hour.
Mm.
I overslept and I couldn't wake up because it's a very early flight.
Mm.
So I had it planned, unfortunately, last year, but yeah. I couldn't, not last year, the year before, and I couldn't make it.
Yeah, okay. So you really like the spirit of Gatorbil and all the people and the craziness.
Like I've been to so many places. I've been to Formula D. I've been to many different events in Europe. I've been to Irish Drift Championship. I've been to Nürburgring Drift Championship. I've been to small drift events in different countries in Eastern Europe. I've been to Hungary, I've been to Germany, you name it, I almost been to it. And Gatorbil, it's not just about drifting. It's the whole Gatorbil, you know, it's the spirit, the people, the atmosphere, the time attack. It's not just the drifting, the engineering about the cars, the how the guys build them, the hard work that gets put in, and the party that gets thrown out after every day, after every track closure, I would say, you know, and it keeps running throughout the day. Forget the big event, forget the big party that they hold on in Rootskogen or in Montorp, the big concert area. No, I'm talking about when you walk around the tents, when you go to the Norwegian corner, or you go to the Danish corner, or you go to the Swedish guys, or here and there, you walk to 59 North Wheels and you see Marcus sitting there and just offering drinks here and there, and you just sit and chill and listen to music. It's the whole vibe that you go through in Gateville. It's what makes Gateville. It's not just watching sliding three cars around the corner or drifting a track, because you can do that anywhere.
Yeah.
It's how the people welcome everyone around and how the atmosphere that you go through. I think that's what really makes Gateville.
Yeah, I agree. We from Drift Zone, we often go around and just chat to people, and all, everyone is very open and welcomes you to sit down and have a chat and so on. So I agree definitely that it's a certain spirit.
It definitely has its own spirit. Even people who go to Grid Life and the American side of Gateville, you know, like people say it's very similar to Gateville, but I think it's so much bigger in size wise, Grid Life, that it might not contain the same spirit. I think because it's contained in a certain track area, because you go around a certain, you're limited by size of the track and the paddock. Yeah. I think that what also helps it to have that its own vibe.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not like it's a small area and it's a lot of people contained in this big area, but you still feel that...
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Rootskogen, I don't know, but I've seen that it reaches more than 50,000 people there over the weekend. Yeah. That's a massive number to host. And you're talking about hundreds of cars going there on the track, people waiting in queue. Like if I would come to drive in Gateville, I will definitely not bring my car to July Rootskogen. I won't have enough seat time. I will not enjoy the drive. It's just really nice to go there and be there. But maybe for me personally, because I really want to live the vibe, because I've tried it in September. I've been there in September and I've been there in Montorp in June. I would choose one of those to drive, and I will definitely not miss July for the vibe.
Yeah, I can understand that. I have still to see Rootskogen. I have never been there yet. So.
Oh, Rootskogen is amazing. I love Montorp as well, but Rootskogen has its own flavor as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you say you've been to... quite a number of Gateville now, and do you have like a special memory that you have from one of your visits to Scandinavia that stands out from the others in a positive way?
They're all positive. I think I can't think of any negative vibe that I had in any of the Gatevilles I've been to, beside when it's really really warm and 10 minutes later, it's really, really cold. Don't forget that we have about 45, 44 degrees now. Like it's almost 11 p.m. and it's about 44 degrees centigrade.
Oh,
the temperature outside. So it's around, beaches are up more than 50 degrees during the day. So it's not something that the temperature is there. So for me, it's always cold when I'm in Scandinavia.
Yeah, I can understand.
But to think about it in what is one thing that is positive? I mean, I've been shotgun with Thor Anders Riggins. I've been shotgun. Yes, that was a highlight. The other one was I was shotgun with Oxnevad in the power slide competition in my first visit to Gateville.
Okay.
And that was a memory I would never forget.
Yeah, I can understand.
Fredox took me with him shotgun to go in the power when he was doing the power slide competition. That was something to remember.
Yeah.
Of course, we know Sultan always flew in with a new build every year. And that's something also I would like to say, that every year on Saturday, just before the track, Saturday, I can't remember. The last day, just before the track closes, I go always shotgun with Sultan, and we go with a brand new set of tires, and we make sure we finish them before we go back to the pits.
Yeah.
That's also that used to happen every single year, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, and those are high-class builds also, so I can imagine that it's a lot of fun riding with him also.
If you haven't been to Rootskogen, maybe you haven't seen them in real life, yeah?
No, not in real life, no.
Oh, it's a different thing. I think the builds that Sultan does, they are one-off, and they are extremely, extremely amazing. The fully carbon fiber-bodied S15... the carbon Kevlar E92, and then the forced carbon Aston Martin. Oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah, I've seen but it. I've seen plans, it on picture and video. Yeah.
You heard it here first. There are talks. I won't say plans. There are talks that something might come to Montour.
Okay. Exciting.
You heard it.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, of course.
But no promises. No promises, though.
Okay. That's a special memory, and also I think all the competitions in Rudskogen must be a bit special. The Super 3 also is a quite spectacular show.
Absolutely, Super 3 is also amazing. I remember it really well. When Builders Team do the 4x4 drifts there, and they try to do the two ODs and the Scirocco, Mazahar and the guys. I mean, that's amazing yeah. thing to see and to watch. When Tor Anders and Fredrik Asbo, they go in the Super 3 as well. I mean, that's something else.
Yeah.
When you see it live, I mean, for everybody who's listening, when you watch this in front of your eyes happening, it's a different experience and it's a different feel all together.
Yeah, I can understand that. I've only seen it on live streams and so on, and it's a spectacular show for sure, and especially the Toyota guys, because they are really, really, really super good at it.
Absolutely, they are, yeah.
Yeah, so but will we see you in Mantorp this year, or are there any plans for you to travel this year also? Or?
Well, I had plans for this year. I actually had Mantorp and Rootskogen planned for this year in January, February, but then March kicked in and the pandemic, unfortunately. Hope everyone is safe, and everything got cancelled so far.
Yeah,
I don't know if I will be able to catch anything in September, the last Mantorp. But it all depends on how the scenario is and how the pandemic is moving on with that.
Yeah. Speaking of the pandemic, then, how is life in general, and how is drifting in the United Arab Emirates now during the pandemic?
So the last thing that happened was end of Feb, beginning of March, and then a total shutdown from there on. So I believe you guys in Sweden, you did not have any lockdowns. You just been told to wear masks and just be safe and social distancing.
Yeah.
It's on the other hand, here what happened is everything got shut down. We had round 3 of Emirates Drift Championship postponed. For now, and that's it. That's the only round that is postponed. And we had so many, I won't call them championships or challenges or anything of that. They are smaller events. You can say something similar to drift nights, or like very tiny gateville, extremely tiny gateville.
Yeah.
where people gather and just go drift, open track sometimes, closed track for a long time. Now, the first one that is happening, I believe it's this Friday, is going to be the first one. Yas Marina is opening up to a drift night. So the people can start warming up again. And the next one is on the 22nd of July. We also have a drift night. I'm most probably going to be driving in that one. So those ones, you have no commentary, no live stream. They're usually like arrive and drive, like doing a track day, but for drifters.
Yeah.
So the in Dubai Autodrome, they're doing one on 22nd, which is the full club circuit, which will be nice practice. And of course, getting all the rusty elbows and the rusty knees and all these to get working again between the clutch and the handbrake and the gear shifter, getting used to drive automatics meanwhile.
So you're not in total lockdown anymore now. It's beginning to open up now.
Yeah, now it's fully open. You just need to maintain social distancing. And there are very, very strict rules about that. We were on partial quarantine, so partial lockdown, which was a few weeks ago. The country shuts down at 10. So now they opened it up. It's open around the clock, so at any time. But still, social distancing, masks, and all these things are compulsory. Traveling between areas, for example, to go to Abu Dhabi, there is a checkpoint, and you need to have a valid test result for COVID-19 that you're negative before you cross borders. So stuff like that is still challenging, I would say. The government made amazing control over the pandemic, and we did not have major fatality rates. It was extremely good. There was a lot of efforts from our government to actually control and maintain the safety of the people.
Yeah, that's really good. We here in Sweden, we have been locked out from different of our neighboring countries, but it's starting to open up here now also, and we see that our drivers that will do the Drift Masters we think that they will be okay now, and if not, I think they will get some help from the Drift Masters organization. But it's been a strange start of this year for sure.
It was a very, it's a challenge, and I think the world needed it, and somehow it definitely had a lot of negative effects. But it also had very positive effects. I'm sure financially everyone complains about it because, well, when everyone is at home, the financial cycle is not complete. But then when you look at the environment prospect of it, the environment has healed and recovered quite quickly.
Yes.
Surprisingly.
Yes, surprisingly quickly. And it's almost a shame that that the environment looks the way it does when it obviously can recover pretty quickly.
Yes, that maybe should make us think about it a little bit, and maybe respect the environment a little bit more, and give it a little bit more attention. I'm not promoting electric cars here, but an electric drift car might be something interesting.
Yeah, we have a few of those in the build. We had one in Formula Drift last year.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. The Nelson Racing. Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't a great success then. But here in Sweden, we have Kloma tires. You might know him.
I know Kloma very well.
Yeah,
very
he's good friend of mine, yeah. Building a Corvette now. That's looking really, really interesting. I'm not sure what his time perspective is on finishing that build, but it looks really exciting.
That will be very interesting to see. There is one car I know about as well in Canada, built by a guy called Sasha. I can't remember his shop name now from my head, but you can see it on the Speed Factory channel. There's a Lotus Evora, I think, that he converted fully to electric car, and it's actually very, very well done.
Yeah.
And EP West, of course, their E36 electric car is also a very good one. Mm.
Yeah, I think we will see a few of those come up in the near future, and it will be some challenges with those electric cars also. But I think we will see more of them in motorsports in the coming years.
Hopefully, they might take out the thrill of the combustion engine and the noise that we're used to. But it's only a noise that we are used to. And we like it because of how it sounds. Maybe it's time to get an open mind to listen to the environment, and maybe the electric cars might be a better choice. But we also need to be careful with that, not to harm the environment more. Thinking about it, tire smoke is also not something very positive because it uses trees for rubber. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Okay. So. My next question was, are you involved in drifting in Dubai or the United Arab Emirates right now? And you have told us a little bit about it as commentator and speaker. What's your?
I am actually also with the government committee, consultant for the committee that actually makes the rules for drifting here. I do help a little bit. I attend some of the meetings where I do the communicate between the government body for the FIA and the drivers. So kind of the middleman. So yeah. I'm not a speaker or anything or representative of the governor body. I'm neither the drivers. I just facilitate the communication between both. And just because of where I've been in the drifting scene and the knowledge I have the knowledge I have from the drivers and from the actual sport where I might be in benefit for them in that aspect.
Mm. Okay. The next event for you, you told us a little bit about that, the open track day quite shortly. Do you have any other plans when you get your pro car finished and so on? What's your plans for that?
The pro car is ready in the aspect. Oh, it doesn't have windows. It doesn't have a driver's seat mounted. The drive shaft were taken off and not made a new one yet, and the handbrake needs to be remounted and the car and windows, of course, and the car is ready. So it's fully painted. It's, I would say it's 85-90% done, but we're just hesitant to finish it. It was supposed to be done a couple of months ago, but with all the current scenario, I don't see a reason why we need to push that.
No, of course. But do you have any plans for that then when it's finished?
Oman International, maybe. But I have to make a choice if I'm going to still be the speaker or I want to go there as a driver. We'll see. Maybe I will do Oman National first and see. I'll gauge my driving skills compared to the local drivers before I maybe push myself towards the international level, and that might not be a very good option for me to do, but I drive for fun. I don't drive for any other reason than enjoying myself.
If we stay on Oman International for a while, I've been watching it because it's obviously in a time of the year when we are starved for drifting in Sweden. So we
off-season.
So we try to look at it, and we also write some articles about it on DriftZone. But I think there was a difference this year compared to the earlier, that it was, I think it was a higher level, better driving this year. Would you say that also?
I would totally agree with you. I think what's happening, Oman had a jump on in the region over all the other committees around. And I have to give them that credit, because what they've done is bringing up those international drivers. A couple of years ago, the first time they've done it, we had international, first of all, we had international drivers coming into the region many years ago already. And we had international judges to come into this region since 2011, 12, 13. Kieran Hines used to come and judge here, and he helped us build the knowledge and the track layout and all that many years ago. But what Oman did differently is Oman brought many different drivers and brought the best of them as well. James Dean, well, his achievements prove it, yeah? Mm. And people here look up to him. And when they do that, they try to improve their cars, improve their skills, and so on. What Oman also did, they've opened the track for the drifters once, sometimes twice a week, regardless if it's summer or winter, for the drivers to go and practice. Mm. So the drivers there practice on those international layouts constantly, driving day in, day out, doing few laps every time with very reasonable entry fees. They're using that piece of tarmac. They're using it to the max. Mm. And they have summer challenges. They have the national championship and they have the international championship alongside other many events. Oman and Automobile Association, I believe they've really took the lead in the drifting scene in the region. And that's what helped to push the drivers to the levels that they are in today.
Yeah. And I guess also that James Dean coming there for a number of years now makes it hot for other drivers to come there and show off also. And there's been a good live stream for a few years now. That's of course is good to show off. And then also when it's off season in both North America and Europe, it's a good way to start off the season.
Absolutely. And don't forget, that's our peak of the season, because in winter the coldest it can get is 15 degrees or 12 degrees at midnight. So when you think about it, during the day, it's still warm. So we're talking about 30 degrees, 35 degrees, warm temperatures during the day, and it cools off in the evening where it becomes nice weather, I would say 20s, generally at that time of the year. So that is our season, peak of our season. And when that happens and those drivers come here, they are craving for the sun, flying. James, for example, coming from Ireland, or people coming from England, and who else? Krista Blush came from Latvia, and hopefully I would like to see some Swedish drifters as well, or Scandinavian in general, to be coming over. Mm. Daigo Saito was here also this year.
Yes.
From Netherlands, Sebastian Fontaine also was here.
I thought Sebastian was driving maybe the best drifting I have seen him drive.
I think Sebastian did extremely well in Oman this year, and he was very close to actually get the title from James.
Yeah, I think
he
so
was
too.
Very close. Mm.
Yeah, and it's also a fun thing that Daigo was there, which is a real drifting icon. And then we had Nick Knack. From
as Nick Knack as well, of course.
Yeah.
He also made amazing driving.
Yeah, and he's what is
very
he like, 13 or something?
I believe he's 14 or 15.
Oh, okay.
I'm not so sure, but
he's very
in
very
that
young
range. Yeah,
very very young.
Extremely
and,
young.
Yeah,
yeah,
and starting off a brilliant career, what it looks like, and I think to have that broad spectra of drivers was great to see. You have the world champion, you have the old icon, and you have these youngsters coming up, and I think it was great entertainment and great drifting this year.
Absolutely, we learned a lot. We also saw some challenges for the local drivers, like Ahmed Daham, who also takes part in Drift Masters. He had a new deal with Lexus, his new sponsor, latest sponsor, as I know, and he built a new RCF with the V8 supercharge. with my talks with him after the event, he was like, we maxed that car out with the weight it has. Now, we need to understand a few things, because a lot of people might not understand the full picture because they're not involved as much in our region, especially for the international listeners here. When Daham built the first Lexus, that car was almost in full body. It only has a cut off fenders. So the interior part, the interior shell was untouched. It was relatively heavy for a drift car.
Yes.
And the plan was that was his show car or the exhibition car. And there was planned to build the next one. Now, the next one is ready, I believe. And they've made a video of it already, but it's yet to be released. And I believe it will be all, I'm not sure where it will be debuted first, but I'm not sure where. I know that it was supposed to go to Driftmasters this year, but I'm not sure if it will go this year or not because of the pandemic, as you know.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to Ahmed in a while, and of course he's in Jordan now, working on his latest project, that new RCF. But I tell you, if you follow him and try to sneak peek on the Instagram posts that he does and his videos, you will see very, very, very interesting build by Ahmed Daham. And the new RCF is a masterpiece. I've seen some images that I can't share, but it's extremely, extremely challenging car to beat by all aspects.
Okay, well, I hope we will see him in Driftmasters, regardless if he will drive his old Nissan or whatever, because I think he's a driver with capacity, and I think we haven't seen him. He hasn't gotten everything out of that capacity yet, I think, in Driftmasters. I think he can do better.
No, in Driftmasters, as you know, when you get outside your And I believe this is on everyone. Even we've seen it on many different drifters who have not experienced different atmospheres of drifting. So we've seen that car the first time, the RCF, debuted in Goodwood Festival Speed. When Daham was in Driftmasters 2 years ago, it was with the S15.
Yes.
It was very challenging for him to manage to send the car from the Middle East there, and then to manage the car transportation there. And regardless how many people you know, you still don't know how the system is. So you go through a lot of challenges. So it's a learning curve. And I think the Ham now is ready to go and put on a proper challenge at Driftmasters. I'm sure challenges will still come up, you know, comes up to each one of us, every one of us, and all the drivers. But we still don't know. We need to see. We need him to be in Driftmasters. I've been trying to tell him you have to go, but he's like, the pandemic, Yusuf, it's not an easy thing.
No, I understand.
Shipping the car, the delays, the flights, where are you gonna stay? You know, it's not as easy.
No.
So let's see.
Yeah. And I don't know, are you following Driftmasters, so you know about this new schedule for this upcoming season?
I've actually screenshotted and I updated my calendar with it, so I get reminders a day before every event. I don't recall it on top of my head now, but I have it. I have the Formula Drift, Driftmasters, Drift Kings now, as they called it. I have the Swedish Drift Championship, I believe the latest. I'm not sure if they updated it or not, but I also, every beginning of every year, whenever the schedule comes up, this is the ones I put. Was of course Driftmasters, if I didn't mention, Irish Drift Championship and British Drift Championship. Those are the ones that I follow very closely. Of course, if the Japan is included.
Yeah. I think for Driftmasters drivers this year, for your example, your friends, Drift Brothers Sweden, Linus and Victor, it will be challenging because it's a very tight schedule. I think it will all be, is it five rounds in like 78 days or something? It's really tight.
It's very, very tight. I believe it's very tight. Let's see. Will they be able to do all the rounds? I don't know if everyone will be able to do all the rounds. I don't think it's easy. I believe even the sponsors need to understand the point of safety as well and stress on everyone. So they need to support that. So either the sponsors need to support more the drivers to be able to go through those, or they need to excuse the drivers if they skip a few.
Yes, of course. And for the Swedish drivers, we also have the fact that it's very long journeys to most of these rounds. And I think that most of them are planning to do a round trip to Riga, and then they go home again, and then they go on a three-round trip, and then go home again, and then go to Poland for the final round, also for a round trip.
I think because Poland, I think for Poland and Riga they do the ferry, and for the rest of the round I think they go down through Malmo.
Yes, so it will be really exciting when it takes off, and because I think that Driftmasters will all be the only series this year that we have Swedish drivers competing for real. I don't really know about Gotebil Drift Series because we have a lot of Swedes in that also, and we'll see how that turns out. I think maybe they will have two or three rounds of the Gotebil Drift Series. I'm not really sure.
Let's see. Gatesville, formerly all the drift series around the world, I think will be very very challenging this year for a lot of drivers to attend them. Look at Formula One and how what's happening with Formula One. That's also very challenging by itself. And that is the highest level of motorsport.
Yes. With the highest level of contact with the governments in each country also that can
absolutely
help setting up special rules for them. So of course it will be. I think maybe, I imagine that maybe Formula Drift has it a little bit easier since it's still in one country compared to Drift Masters, for example, that's in five different countries.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that point. Because it's in one country, it might be easier to travel from a state to a state. But yeah. I'm not so sure. I think I was watching one of the vlogs. I'm not, maybe Adam LZ. I don't remember where I heard it. But one of the vlogs said some of the states, they're having some regulations about people coming in and out. I'm not so sure about that. But if that is the case, that will also be challenging for the drivers to actually travel. So if they can go through those states, or do they need to detour around them, or how is it going to be? I don't know much about it now, but
We'll see.
I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Yeah. And we've seen Formula Drift also alternate their schedule to make the best of the situation, so to say, and have a back-to-back rounds on each venue. So it will be also a different series this year for sure.
I think everything is different this year from all the championships, and not even, you're talking from Formula One all the way down to Rallycross on a national level. Everything is different this year. So let's hope for the best, and let's hope for some entertainment for the viewers and the crowds, wherever they are. They're watching live or they're actually attending the circuits. I don't know if it's allowed for people to actually attend the events live in some countries.
No, probably not. We still have regulations here in Sweden. I think there's a lot of similar in the other European countries as well. But that will make the live streams even more important this year, I think.
I think so. I think the live stream will need to up their game this year on every single aspect, I think.
Yes. One series that I didn't mention was the Nest Drift, the FIA North European Zone Drift series. They will also do a few of the rounds, I think Riga and Finland. There has been no live stream from those competitions in the past, so because they want to have a big audience there on the track, but I think they will have to look into that this year. So it will be exciting too to see how they compile to this new
scenarios.
Yeah. Because we have some Swedish drivers also in that series, and that's an international European series as well.
Oh, that will be interesting to see. I mean, there is a lot now on the internet, I think, and it's the right time for anybody, for example, like us, Drift Zone, to come up and show that we can cover up those events to the best of our abilities. I think that's a big thing. Russian Drift Series also is one of the series that I follow, and they've just done their first event with amazing. They've done the judging online.
Yeah,
so
I saw
they
that.
They streamed the judging.
Yeah.
They streamed the briefing. They streamed all of these things. I mean, that's promising.
Mm.
That's promising. Also on
Absolutely.
Championships, like we yet to see the benefits of it. Needs to be tried a few times and refined to be absolutely perfect. But
absolutely.
once that is done and out of the way, I think it will help a lot of championships to employ judges, commentary, live streaming, and all these things remotely, and people don't need to be physically there. Yet they are doing their part of growing this community and raising up the challenge.
Yes. Yeah, that was an exciting new thing I learned from following Ryan Lantain's Instagram feed, I think. And the Russian series, I don't follow that so much, but I've seen there's been some spectacular driving there also. And I know, for example, Kristaps was there for some years. And so I think, and of course, not to mention the winner, no, the runner-up of Drift Masters in Riga last year. What a driver.
I think he's a very dangerous driver if you bring him to any championship. And thinking about it, when you look at that S15 running that SR20 with a conventional handbrake, and you look at him, how he drives, and it's like, how is that even possible?
Yes.
How is it possible? Mm. And he's just amazing. I think last year, Riga was a very, very good event. I think all Drift Masters last year was great events throughout.
Yeah, I think so too.
Riga was definitely standing out.
Yeah. We visited the one in Austria, the first one. And then we had Stefan and Henrik also at Ferropolis. And there were great events. And we went to Riga in 2018 and Riga also has this aura, this spirit on the track that I think is very special, and it was really nice to see it and feel it.
I was supposed to be there with you guys
in
2018 in Riga. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it. I can't remember the exact reasons behind it, but I wasn't able to make the flight for... It's not easy to fly to Riga from Dubai. There is no any direct flights or one-stop flights. It's slightly complicated. So it takes much longer time. I don't have enough leave days, I believe. I'm not 100% sure why I didn't make it, but it was one of those reasons, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we can take one question now that when you say you don't have enough leave days, what is your profession?
I used to, not anymore. You work for Emirates Airlines. So, and that used to facilitate my constant travels.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have every beginning of every year, what I used to do is once all the schedules comes out for all the drifting events, I count my leave days and I match them. So we have Friday and Saturday is our weekend. So I plan all my flights on Friday morning. Okay. And I plan all my return flights on Sunday and I take or Monday and I take one day off or 2 days off. Yeah. And I had an agreement with my direct manager is I'm not taking any long holidays during the year.
Yeah.
But I'll give you in February, I'll give you all my leave days that I want.
Okay.
Over the year. And I take them in 2 days, whenever I need to travel. Sometimes I used to travel twice a month, sometimes three times a month.
Mm.
And I'm always on top of my job back then. And I always fly back and I didn't lose. I only lost 2 days. So how much work would you have lost in 2 days?
Mm. Yeah.
It's always easy to catch up.
Yeah. So what do you do now instead?
I do the motorsport events. I do the commentary, the speaking. I help consult some people to build their drift cars. That's basically it.
Mm. Okay. Sounds like I'm more
dedicated to motorsport and I like it to be that way.
Mm. Yeah.
It's my passion. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that was all that I had on my questions. Do you have anything you would like to add to all the people out there?
Well, just thanking everyone for listening for our long chat here. And I hope they learn something new and hope to see them soon. Hopefully after this pandemic is done and you guys need to plan a trip to Oman International in 2021.
Yeah, we would love to really. Yes, and so we say thank you so much for your time, Josef. And like I said, I hope to see you in Sweden soon again and maybe in Oman also. Thank you very much, Josef.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Please listen to our old episodes and visit us on driftzone.se or in our social media for daily news about drifting. You will find us under the name Driftzone on most platforms. If you have a subject or a guest that you would like to hear on Driftpodden, please send us a message on our social media or send us an email on driftpodden@gmail.com. In today's episode, you heard Josef Alherais and Christer Heglund. Mixing, Robin Strandberg. Driftpodden is a production from Driftzone and the year of production was 2020.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.